This is chapter 17, text 36. In this particular category, shastras are not required. Once there's some discussion of Srila Prabhupada in New York, Meher Baba, some famous Baba called Meher, M-E-H-E-R, Indian guru, sadhu person, Meher Baba. And he was a very charismatic yogi, guru, sadhu on the scene in the 60s and 70s when Prabhupada was here with us. And he wrote a book, and in this book he said, you don't need any book to become God. You are God, you don't need any books, you don't need any religious books. And it was a very long book he wrote, describing his philosophy, how you don't need any books to realize that you are God. So Prabhupada, devotees were so naive and apparently illogical in those days due to various types of foodstuffs that they were engaging in that melu, during that time, melu. So they couldn't quite see through the farce of the whole presentation. So one devotee said, Prabhupada, there's one very famous, here in New York City, right now there's one very famous yogi guru, his name is Meher Baba. And Prabhupada said, what is his philosophy? As he would usually say. He said, well, he's written one book, which will let all the young people reading it. In this book he says that we don't need any books. We don't need a book to realize God. And Prabhupada said, what a farce, what a cheater. Then why is he writing a book? Why is he cheating people? He's taking your 200 rupees to read a book that tells you don't need a book. So that after hearing from Prabhupada, the devotees started laughing at that person's ideas, philosophy, and also his own stupidity that he bought the book. So this is, of course, we do need books, but reading a book, and in this book, in a similar way, Vrindavan Das Thakur is writing in a book called Vrindavan Mahimamrita that we don't need any shastras. And this is a shastra. We're reading a shastra by an author who's telling us, you don't need any books. So obviously, is that what he's saying? No, that's not what he's saying. He said, you don't need mundane books. You don't need to, says you don't, shastras are not required. Shastras mean shastras, there's so many shastras, they're dharma shastras. There's 20 different books called dharma shastras, collectively. 20 different books. Manasamhita, many. And they're all about pap, punya and pap, and prayaschitta, and how to promote karmakanda. 90% of the Vedic literature is all about karmakanda. 90. There's karmakanda upasana, there's jnanakanda upasana, and Vaishnava upasana. Upasana. Upasana means the worship. The worship of karma and manipulating karma for material advantage and promotion. Then there's jnanopasana. Various shastras that teach the upasana method of worship to realize Brahman. And then there's the Vaishnava upasana. I met the agamas and the panchayatric literature and the agamas, which are supplementary to the shrutis and smritis. Because most of the smritis are these dharma shastras, the smritis. Like we have smartas, you heard of the smartas? The smritis or smartas are the karma kandiyas that are interested in all kinds of placating of demigods and counteracting pap and increasing punya and sukriti and enjoyment. And promotion to higher planes of varnas or higher ashramas and higher material positions in this planet and other planets, if you're so much fortunate. So the Vaishnava Kanda or the Vaishnava Upasana is a very few percentage of all the Vedas. So those shastras, you say you don't need shastras, you don't need these type of shastras. But we need Radharasudha Nidhi, and we need the Sandarbhas, and we need Rupa Goswami's writings. Himself, Prabhupada Saraswati, he's reading every day Rupa Goswami's writings, Stavamala. He's reading Sanatana Goswami's writings. These are the foundational literatures. He's a contemporary of them. So he's not writing a book to say, you don't need any shastras, only mine. You only need Vrindavan Mahimamrita, which says you don't need any shastras. Oh, the Rupa Goswami, Sanatana, Jiva, these they don't need. Who says you need shastras? Just live in Vrindavan. Well, they did that. They followed your instruction, Prabhupada Saraswati. Jiva and Rupa and Sanatana just lived in Vrindavan. Rupa and Sanatana and Raghunath Das, they all lived about 30, 40 years. Jiva lived 65 years because he came young. 65 solid years, that's a lot. Most of the Goswamis lived 35, 40, 45 because they came when they were older. And they lived in Vrindavan and they wrote shastras about Vrindavan and about Radha Krishna Vrindavan. These shastras are not shastras, they are Vrindavan. When he says shastras are not required for Brajavas or Raghunuga Bhajan, I said Brajavajan means Raghunuga Bhakti. So for Raghunuga Bhakti and Brajavajan, shastras are not required. What kind of shastras? The ones I mentioned. But the shastras, these are sacred shastras. And Rupa Goswami is saying, and Jiva is confirming, that one of the primary limbs of Raghunuga Bhakti is Bhagavat Shravan Rasik Bhakta Saha Sangha. To hear the Bhagavat, Srimad Bhagavatam Shastra, Puran, the Purans are Shastras, to hear that in the association of devotees in Vrindavan, Satam Prasangam Mavariya Sampido, Ridya Karana Rasayana. It is like Rasayana for the ears and heart, Karana Ridya Karana Rasayana. So he's saying, yeah, live in Vrindavan with Shastras. So Rupa and Jiva Goswami is saying, living in Vrindavan with Shastras. And then Vrindavan is saying, live in Vrindavan without shastras. It seems to be a contradiction. But we have to, that's why we read shastras by ourselves, we'll get contradicted. We'll get confused. Therefore, the sadhu or the sadhu will unravel and find it, explain it to you as we're hearing. So these type of, all these verses we're discussing, many verses on this point of shastras are not required for Braja Bhajan. 36. Tat shastra mama karam karna mulam apina swapne api jayado ho. Sri Brinda vipinasya yatra mahima nati adbhuta shriyate. Te me jristipatam nayantur nitiram sambhashita mapnuyao. Ye Vrindavana Vaivav Shrutigate Nulasinas Te Kalaha. Prabodhananda Saraswati Pad is saying, may the statements of those scriptures, and see now he's saying exactly what I said, may the statements of those scriptures, not all scriptures, may the statements, verses, shlokas, discussions of those verses that do not describe the supreme glories of Vrindavan, like my book, like Rupa Goswami's books, like Sanatan, like Jiva, Raghunath Das. Never, what did Raghunath Das write? Don Keli Chintamani. It's about the Don Leela of Radha Krishna and Don Gati Govardhan. That's about Vrindavan. So may those shastras never enter my ear holes. So now this is the clincher, as they say, to zero in on the point. I never see or talk with people that don't feel happy after hearing the qualities and glories of Vrindavan. So I suppose that people, let's say devotees that are listening to this webinar,
webinar,
they must be very much attached to Vrindavan because they're every day hearing the glories of Vrindavan. And they're happy to hear the glories and qualities of Vrindavan because we're hearing an hour every day. And if they're not, then they wouldn't come on the webinar. We're happy to hear them, and others are also. Another translation, may those scriptures where the glories of Vrindavan are never heard, even in dreams, may those scriptures where the glories of Vrindavan are heard, are never, even in dreams, enter my ears. May those wretched persons who do not rejoice to hear Vrindavan's glories never converse with me and never enter the pathway of my eyes. So of course you find people like that in places where we don't want to be anyway. But if you go to cities, mundane cities in the world, like Mumbai or Delhi, and you tell some relatives or friends about Vrindavan, they will rather say, oh, mostly, that, what is this? I don't want to hear about this. Let's talk about Mumbai. You won't find that many receptive ears. Because people live where they live, some by choice, but most by destiny. And they become very attached to wherever they perch their little feathers. As the birds become attached to the branch, and every day they land on the same branch and poop in the same place on the ground. Prabhupada took a tour of the temple in Vrindavan. I've told this several times. And there was a chandelier in one room before it opened. And they were getting everything ready for the opening. There was lots of construction and people going in and out. And so it wasn't really open yet. So Prabhupada walked around the tour of the temple with Surabhi Palyantan Swami and Gunarlava and some other devotees involved in construction and management. He pointed his cane on the floor and said, what is this? What is this? What does this mean? And what he was pointing his cane to on the floor was a pile of bird remnants, or what did I say? Stool. Bird stool. A good sized pile. And Prabhupada asked for the philosophical meaning of this. Everyone knew that Prabhupada was a very deep and profound philosopher. And everything had deep meaning, so no one wanted to sound stupid by not positing a reply or an answer to Swamiji's inquiry. But so everyone was silently, deeply thinking and meditating, and trying to come up with the answer. So then, one rather bold and free-spirited disciple said, "Well, Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada." Means, I don't know what it means, but it's bird stool. Very matter of factly, he precisely identifies the subject in question. Because Prabhupada just said, what does this mean? And that the devotee said, I don't know what it means, but it appears to be bird stool. And Prabhupada again says, but what does it mean? And no one knew the answer. And Prabhupada said, it shows that birds are living on the chandelier. And they've been living and they've been perching on the chandelier in the same spot every day for months. And this is a 1 month collection of their offering to the floor of the temple from their perch. And probably want to explain that it shows even birds become attached to their place of residence. They found a chandelier to shack up on. And they stayed perched over there and made it home sweet home, and they were really attached to their chandelier and passing stool on their favorite toilet and their favorite penthouse apartment and their favorite Arabian Sea out the window. And they can't even think about moving out of there. Even if a cyclone or tufan comes or tsunami and washes them away, they'll go away with the waves rather than move to Vrindavan. So such attached people, which there are millions of them around the world, if you mention the glories of Vrindavan, they won't like it. They won't feel happy to hear about the glories and qualities of Vrindavan. So these type of people are not Vrindavan Das Thakur, he doesn't want to see them. I don't want to see such people. Nor do I want to hear any words from their mouths. So that really limits your association. Because devotees are about 1/1,000,000% of the world's population. So basically he's saying, stay in Vrindavan and associate with devotees. There's another verse here on this topic in chapter 17. Verse 54. Interesting commentaries on these verses, I must say. Starts in Vrindavan and ends up in the Arabian Sea. 17:54. So basically we read this book, divided into categories, and we extracted all the different ones. And most of them. Yattad balagantu shastrani Aho janataya riyatam. Yat tadeva sam sam yat tat matam. Stapa yatu lagu matis. Tarka matra pravina. Haspakam tu ujwalaka eka unmad. Vimala rasa prema payusha morte. Shri Radhaya Viharatava Miha Nabinani Atraniyati Chaitan E Ujvala Eka Unmad Ujvala Eka Unmad Vimala Vimala Rasa Prema Piyusha Murti. That's a wonderful phrase. Balgantu Shastrani. Let the scriptures brag. Let, or boast, or brag. Let people accept whatever they want, which, as I mentioned, the Karmakanda scriptures are offering so many delights and tantalizing attractions. Let the narrow-minded mental speculators strengthen their opinions. Still, my mind does not want to leave Vrindavan, which is saturated with transcendental love of God, and which is a place of Sri Radhika's pastimes. Sri Radhaya Vihar. Vihar means that. Vihar. Vihari. One who enjoys pastimes. And Vihar. This is Sri Radhaya Vihar. Her place of her pastime. Vrindavan Vihar. Vrindavan Mila. They're saying Vimala. Vimala Rasa Prema Murti. Vrindavan is the very form of pure prema ras, ek unmad vimala prema ras. That is just most wonderful effulgent madness. Most wonderful effulgent madness manifests in one of Piyusha who drinks the prema ras, that pure prema ras. The form, the murti means the form. The form of that vimala rasa prema, one who drinks that, he becomes effulgently maddened with the pastimes of Sri Radha and Vrindavan. It's very interesting, we're discussing about these different scriptures, Karmakanda, Gyanakanda, exactly he's addressing this. Let the scriptures brag. So some of the scriptures are talking about Karmakanda, where people get what they want. Then other scriptures are talking about Gyanakanda. So he's addressing the same thing here. Let the scriptures brag. Let people accept whatever they want. Those are the Karmakandiyas. They want so many things, so they look in the scriptures, and the scriptures brag about those things. You want good health, worship Suryadev. You want this, you want that, worship this. You want a good husband, you worship Shiva. You want this, you want to overcome obstacles, you worship Hanuman, fast on Tuesday. Many things. So they're bragging, they're announcing, they're loudly proclaiming, do this and you get these wonderful things. So the Karmakandiyas, they accept those things. And then the low-minded people, they aim a little higher than this body and mind and senses, a little higher than this immediate world, and they have their eyes fixed on the higher realm, the beyond Devi Dham. They want to go to Hari Dham or Jyotir Dham, Hari Jyotir Dham. They want to play in the rays of light of non-distinction. Well, I want to play in the rays of light of non-distinction, known as the Brahman. And their individual existence is not very joy-producing. So they want to merge that in the homogeneous realm of unified consciousness. This is the counterpart to the physics presentation of the field. What do they call it? The unified field. The unified field is the concept in quantum mechanics and physics. Unified field. So the unified field is the Brahma-jyoti. It's the unified field of conscious units, appearing to be one field, and because they've given up their participation with their individuality. They suppress their individuality to such an extent it appears to be non-existent, but it's eternally existent. They've entered into deeply into the jyoti, so far deeply into the light of the light of the Lord, this Brahma jyoti, that they're apparently just floating particles of light, enjoying the bliss of eternal slumber in non-distinction, non-differentiation. This is the Brahman reality. Mental speculators strengthen their opinions. still, let them, in other words, let the karma kandiyas and jnana kandiyas, let them run around with their shastras. I won't leave Vrindavan, because this place is saturated prema ras. Another verse we can peruse here. The Vedas may jump and dance as they like. The people may think whatever they like. And stapayatu lagumatis. Antarka means argument. Vedas may jump and dance as they like. People may think whatever they like. And the unintelligent logicians may establish whatever theories they like. This is Tarko. Tarko Matra Pravina. Pravina means very established, very strong. Tarka. Tarka means arguments. There's that verse in the Mahabharata. Tarko Pratishta. Something Abhina. Tarka Pratishta. And the last line that says, you said that logicians and speculators will always argue about the truth. Tarko Pratishta. Abhina, it just goes on, there's no unity. But the real way to success is Mahajana Yena Katasa Panta. That's a verse, simply follow the path of the Mahajans. That'll settle all the arguments and settle all the confusions which usually happen when a bunch of philosophers and mental speculators get together. They have a lot of, you know, as Vivekananda said, and it's a very popular phrase among the older generation in India. Many men, many minds. I think you maybe heard that before in India. It was quite popular. Have you heard that statement? India has so many people. So many men, many minds. So this is the idea of Tarko Pratishta Shrutiya Vibhinna Nasavashir Yasya Matam Nabhinnam Tarmasya tatvam nihitam guhayam mahajno yena katasya panta. Oftentimes you hear this one phrase. Most often we hear this phrase, mahajno yena katasya panta. Just follow the panta, mahajan panta. Follow the path of the acharyas, of the Vaishnavas, the pure shud bhakti path, bhakti marg bhakti path, shud bhakti path. Mahajno yena katasya panta. That panta, that pure unadulterated path of the sadhus, the self-realized mahajanas, those self-realized predecessors, the acharyas, acharya mam vijanyan, acharya purusho, evam parampara praptam imam rajarshayu vidu. So this line is lesser, but more than the other two, dharmasya tattvam nihitam guhayam. Guha, guha. Guha means hidden, cave-like, secret. And tattva, as we know, means truth, substance, substantial reality. Substantial reality, or flawless truth, is tattva. Nam tattva, dam tattva, bhagavat tattva, prema tattva, rasa tattva, vaishnava tattva, guru tattva, shiva tattva. This is dharmasya tattvam, nihitam, nihi. Nihita means it's placed in the heart, in the guha, in the cave of the heart is placed the truth of Dharma. So the truth of religion, because Dharma Shastra, Dharma means religion, there's 20 Dharma Shastras we mentioned to you already. And they describe karma kanda, how to promote yourself. It's Dharma, it's religion. It's connected to the demigods and indirectly to Vishnu, Brahma and Shiva, and the 33 primal demigods. By sacrifice and puja and yajna and austerity and dan and charity and so many sukriti and punya pious activities, one pacifies and appeases these devas and planetary lords and gets favors to enjoy the karmic ride more comfortably. But this is not the really secret. There's a secret in the Dharma Shastras. The secret is not material enjoyment. And the secret is not Swarga Mukti, or Gandharva Mukti, or Chandraloka Mukti, or Indriya Sukh, or Gandharva Sukh. And the secret is not Brahma Suyuja Mukti, or Brahma Kaivalya. That's not the secret. The secret of the Shastras, Dharmasya Tattvam Nihitam Guhayam. That Dharma Tattva, that secret, topmost essential truth of the religious scriptures, is Nihitam, is placed in the cave of whom? It's in a cave. Whose cave is that? The cave, the heart. The cave-like heart of the Mahajanas. They will tell you the real path. Mahajano Yena Katasya Panta. Tako Pratishta Shrutayo Vibhinna Nasa Vrishir Yasya Matam Nabhinnam Dhammasya Tattvam Nihitam Guhayam Mahajano Yena Katasya Panta. Mahajano Yena Katasya Panta. This is, I believe, this is Vana Parva. There's Bija Parva and Vana Parva. Dry arguments, tarko, pratishta, they don't establish anything. Tarko apratishta, pratishta. You know, pratishta means to establish, to cement, to firm something, secure, found, establish. Tarko apratishta, tarko apratishta, shruti avibhina. People argue, the rishis, munis, many men, many minds, they argue, and they never establish anything. They argue until the cows come home. They say, Uttara Goshta Leela. Shruti Vibhina. Because the Shrutis, the original Shrutis, the Tara Veda, Rig Veda, Sam Veda, Yajur Veda, they're Vibhina. There's so many varied and different viewpoints and opinions of different Rishis. Well, it's like this. It's Patanjali. Patanjali is a great Rishi. He said, it's yoga, man. It's Ashtanga Yoga, 8 steps of yoga ladder. That'll take you up there. To where? To Brahman. So that's his contention. So he writes the sutras, potentially yoga sutras. And then he says, a personality whose opinion does not differ from others is not considered a great sage. Rishina matam nabina. If you're mata, Your mata means your opinion, your idea, your conception, your viewpoint, your understanding, your contribution, your realization. If it's not different from another Rishi, hey Patanjali, what's your viewpoint? Oh, hey, I got my sutra. Achoo. Oh, yeah, that's cool. Did you see my sutra? Oh, I have my Bhagava sutra, or this other sutra, my Samhita. So this is, that's a good one. Yours is different than mine, and yours are different. As they say. So they say, okay, forget all this. The Mahabharata is telling Vanaparva 313.117, forget all this. Find a true Mahajan. The real true seeker of Dharma is hidden in his heart. What is the seeker of Dharma? Prem Dharma. Prema Purushartha Mahan. Pancha Purushartha. Prema Purushartha. That this is the greatest goal, is love of God. This gives all success, all fulfillment, all happiness, imbues life with charm, imbues life with delight, inner satisfaction, and eternal joy and bliss in a spiritual relationship with Bhagavan Sri Krishna. This is a Dharma Tattvam. And that secret is in the hearts of the devotees. The real, they are the Mahajanas. So many Rishis there, okay, they're Mahatmas, they're good Rishis, but Mahajana. We say the Dwadasa Mahajan. In the sixth canto of Bhagavatam, the Yamaraj comes as a child and he explains that, okay, there's so many rishis, so many mahatmas, there's so many rishis, but there's some rishis that are very special. And then Swayambhur, Narada, Shambhu, Prahlado, Janako, Bhishma, Bali, Vyasaki, Kumaraka, Swayambhur, Narada, Shambhu, Kumara Kapilamanu, Prahlada Janako Bhishma, Balir Vyasaki Vayam. Lord Brahma, he is a great sage, Swayambhuva, he has his Sampradaya, Brahma Sampradaya. Bhagavan Narad, Swayambhuva Brahma, Narada Muni, Shambhu Lord Shiva, the Kumara, four Kumaras, Kapila Muni, Devahuti's son, Kapila Shiksha, third canto Bhagavatam, Sankhya, Vaishnava Sankhya. Then there's Swayambhuva Manu, one of the 14 Manus, Kapila, Manu. Then Prahlad Maharaj, 7th canto Bhagavan, Prahlad Shiksha, teachings of Prahlad Maharaj, that's Prabhupada. Then there's Prahlad, there's Janak, Janak Maharaj. Janak Maharaj, of course, is the father of Sita, but I'm not sure this is the same one or not. Maybe. Then there's grandfather Bhishma. Then Bali Maharaj. He was a great, externally appeared as a great demon, but actually he's a great teacher of religion. He taught Atmanavedanam, surrendering everything, body, mind, and soul, everything, and head at the feet of Lord Vamanadeva, Lord Vishnu. So that's the highest dharmic principle is Atmanavedanam. Then Vyasaki. Vyasaki, of course, is Shukadeva Goswami, the son of Vyas. And then Vayam, that's the speaker. This is Yamaraj instructing Yamadutas. He wasn't a child, I made a mistake. He was fully Yamaraj. These instructions were given on Yamaloka and Yamapuri. To the Yamadutas, when they tried to take Ajamiyo out of his body and take him to Yamapuri for judgment and punishment in hell, somehow the Vishnudutas came and saved him because he chanted Narayan one time. He said, Narayan. By chance, I was in Los Angeles, 75 or so, and Prabhupada was translating. It was just recently printed. Prabhupada was giving class on the sixth canto, Ajamiyo. And the devotee, Pradyumna, his disciple, was a very expert Sanskrit person, and maybe I think today a professor of Sanskrit in some university. Pradyumna Das, Paul Sinclair, I think is his name. He was saying that Ajamiyo, when the Yamadutas came, then he recited, Narayan, Narayan, Narayan. And he's reading the manuscript. This is before the book was printed. This is the BBT Los Angeles, where the books were laid out, designed, Sanskrit. So he had an A4 size. It was not a book yet. It wasn't even a book yet. Prabhupada said, we will give classes on the sixth canto, which we're just working on. Bring the sheets. So no one had a book. Prabhupada didn't have a book either. I was just listening to Pradyumna read the proof sheets from the book. So Ajamiyo, when he was seeing the frightening Yamadutas, he looked towards his son and he remembered Narayan and he chanted, Narayan, Narayan, Narayan. And Prabhupada had his big black glasses. He would look at his Sanskrit Bhagavatam on his desk because there was no BBT one, so he was looking at this big fat Sanskrit one. And his glasses were like this, like on his nose, and he looked over. What? Three times? Only once. It says once. Why you wrote three times? Oh, sorry, Prabhupada. You correct that. It wasn't printing. It was already a mistake. Narayan once. Narayan. Not like the Bhagavad Saptas. Narayana, 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 Narayana. Only once, Narayan. We don't want to do one of these cut offs. people are writing and say, what is it? You just stop, which we rather like, and we're relishing it in our small sangha. But our other friends and devotees on the webinar, they say, what happened? Where's the rest of class? We feel we got left hanging. This is the beautiful verse here about, he's saying, let all the scriptures talk about karma and gyan, but all I know is I want to stay in Vrindavan, Sri Radha Vihar, the place of Sri Radha's pastimes. And I want to, Vimala Rasa Prema Piyush, Murti. I want to become a form. I want to become a Murti. What kind of Murti? I want to become a drinking Murti. Our body is a Vigraha, as we heard in Chaitanya Bhagavat sometimes. The Vigraha, Prema Rasa, Prema Maya Vigraha, the devotee's form, Vigraha. So Murti means form. So Prabhupada Saraswati is saying, I don't care about Gyan, promotion to heavenly planets or Brahmajyoti, Kaivalya Mukti. I simply want to drink. I'm a drinking Murti. I'm not a drunk, although I'm also drunk. Sometimes a drinker becomes a drunk. He drinks until he becomes drunk. So he says, I want to become a drinking Murti. Piyusha Murti. Piyusha Murti means a drinking Murti. What do I want to drink? I want to drink Vimala Ras Supreme. Vimala Ras. This Prema Ras is Ras. It's liquid. It's intoxicating, but it's pure. Bimal. There's no tamagun there. There's no rajagun, sattvagun. It's vishuddha sattva. It's the purest, it's the purest verified form of transcendental joy. This blissful experience of loving and serving Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan. One experiences the highest ecstasies of prema ras, as all the components of ras mixed together, the vibhav and abhav, and the avachari sattvic bhavs on the basis of the sthayi bhav, permanent devotional foundation. And he's saying this, he's saying that this, I want to drink this, and what will happen? Ujjala eka unmad, I'll become maddened, I'll become completely maddened. So we'll conclude on that verse about drinking till we go mad. And he's saying, I don't want to leave Vrindavan, which is saturated with the transcendental love of God, which is the place of Radhika's pastimes. And here they're saying, other translation, logicians, they can establish whatever theories they like, but our heart will never leave the pastime forest of Sri Radha. Sri Radhaya Vihara, whose splendid form, Radharani's murti, whose splendid form is filled with the sweet nectar of pure, wildly passionate, transcendental love. So I took this phrase to apply to the liberated, pure devotee, but this translation is taking the phrase to be an adjective describing Radharani, who is mentioned in the fourth line, as Sri Radhaya Vihara. That in that forest of Vrindavan, which is Radharani's place of wonderful pastimes, Rasa Vihar, like we have Rasa Vihari Sham, Shama Sham, Rasa Vihari Sham. So there's Rasa Vihari and Rasa Viharani, Rasa Visatarani. That song is there by Hari Vyasacharya. Rasa Visatarani, Uru Unmadani. This is Vrindavan. This translation is saying that actually this murti, this what we're seeing here in this Sanskrit, is prema piyusha murti. Radharani is that murti. She's that splendid form filled with the sweet nectar of sweet love. Prema ras. Vimala prema ras. And what happens when she fills up with that sweet nectar of pure, she's filled with the sweet nectar of pure, wildly passionate, transcendental love. Eka unmad. She becomes completely maddened by drinking that wonderful ras, Vimala ras supreme, which is so effulgent and makes her full of effulgence. Ujvala eka unmad, Vimala ras suprema piyusha murte Sri Radha ki jaya. And that is the Ujvala, and she's experiencing that one madness with one person whose name is Ujvala Nilamani Sham. Ujwala Nilamani Sham. It's a type of Nilamani, blue sapphire, which has Satchidananda Rupam, Sham, Krishna. And that sapphire is Ujwala, extremely brilliant, with the light of Radha's love. Krishna is illuminated. Krishna's heart and mind are fully and completely illuminated with the light of Radharani's love. And that light of Radharani's love and it enters Krishna's heart, penetrates deeply into Krishna's heart, then resonates and radiates and expands and illuminates everything in the forest of Vrindavan with a beautiful Sham effulgence, which is known as Shamaras. So this is Vrindavan, the place of Shamaras and Radharas Sudanidhi. Prabhupada Saraswati doesn't want to leave it. He wants to drink the Shamaras. He wants to drink the Radharas Sudaniti. That's why he wrote the Radharas Sudaniti. Because he's drinking it, he's seeing it, he's tasting it, and he's sharing it. That's the mercy of the Vaishnavas. They're seeing it, they're drinking it, they're experiencing it, they're relishing it, and they're sharing it. That's the contact with Lord Chaitanya. He has the share concept. They have the share concept. So he has the sharing concept. There's the drinking. So we hope to, we can share tomorrow some more of the nectar if Prabhupada Saraswati will allow us to meet at his holy lotus feet at the Vrindavan, he's showing us in his wonderful treatise entitled Sri Vrindavan Mahimamrita. Ki Jai.